This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. It is Monday, August 2nd. You're listening to the College Football Daily. My name is Trey Scott, joined right now by Chris Hummer, National College Football writer for 24/7 Sports. Chris, it was good to see you last week in Austin, and it's good to talk to you right now. I think we just sort of have a lot to talk about, a lot of table setting and resetting and all of that good stuff to go through as we embark on the month of August, our last months really without the college football slate. There are a few games in week zero on August 28th, as you know, the highlight of that being Nebraska at Illinois. But let's just set the table. Like, what is the month of August all about in this current world of college football?
Well, I think it's a bit of normalcy. Like, I know COVID impacted last regular season, so it never felt normal. But this offseason too is just, it's been one thing after another, from the transfer portal to NIL rights to realignment to playoff expansion potentially. It just feels like we've been talking about anything but football, and I don't think that's going to go away. Like, we're going to have a lot of topics to discuss over the coming month as we lead into the season. But fall camp is starting for a lot of programs this week, most programs actually. Yep. There's going to be football practices. We're going to have depth charts to discuss. We're going to have quarterback battles to talk about. Unfortunately, there will be some injuries. Like, we're kind of returning back to what we consider the normal college football path. And I'm, for one, is super excited about that. We have college football, as you said, on August 28th, week one, the real week one, is not too far behind that. So it's a really exciting time for college football at large.
Well, the fun thing about the real week one, we got week zero games on the 28th of August, and then the calendar on Wednesday flips to September. You've got a UAB game. And then on Thursday, Chris, Thursday and Friday is freaking awesome. Ohio State plays Minnesota on that Thursday. Friday is North Carolina, Virginia Tech, and then we're there to the weekend.
One of the great things about that Thursday, so September 2nd, we have more FBS games on Thursday, September 2nd than we did probably on half the week's last regular season, just because everybody's playing again, and that's going to be awesome.
All the conferences are represented. We've got FCS football. We've got Big Ten football. We've got Pac-12 football. We've got
non-conference football. We are playing non-conference games again this year. We got Boise State versus UCF. How fun is that going to be on Thursday, September 2nd? Like, it's going to be great.
I was reading through the preseason magazines this weekend at the pool, and I was starting to think about the lines the bets I was going to start making. Anyway, that's, not really my specialty, so I'll leave that to the experts. But yeah, it's going to be great. And I'm glad we mentioned how it's going to be great, because got to mention, and yes, just like you, I'm excited about the murmurs of the freshmen who are going to be really good and the fall camp standouts. And of course, we'll do those pieces at 24/7 Sports, and we'll count, we'll look at the top 25s and all that stuff. I do have to say, though, and this is not an opinion, this is just me mentioning it because at its purest conceit, this is a news podcast. Looking at the rest of the sporting world and looking at the world in general, the country in general, like, COVID will be a participant in this college football season. So I'm not going to sit here and say two games a week are going to get canceled. I'm not going to sit here and say, you're going to have Saturdays where half the slate doesn't happen. I don't think that it's going to get that dire. But even yesterday, Chris, like, the Minnesota Vikings were down to Jake Browning at quarterback because Kellen Mond tested positive, and then Kirk Cousins was a close contact, non-vaccinated, and he was out. Like, we're going to get that in college football. And it was a top story at media days, was the vaccination thresholds. And it's clear now, even if you're vaccinated, you are subject to breakthrough outbreaks. And of course, it's not nearly as severe, and it's much safer to be vaccinated. But players are it wouldn't be surprising this week, like, if a college football camp has to hit pause for a day or two, just like last year because of COVID.
No question. I think Mike Zimmer, the Minnesota Vikings head coach, said the best attribute of a backup quarterback right now is that they're vaccinated, because they're going to be available. And that's what he said about Jake Browning. So
so mad at Kirk Cousins. You can just tell.
Absolutely. And that's hanging over the season. Like, it absolutely is. And it's a little more complicated on the college level. One, because they're not paid like professional athletes, and two, because the roster sizes are larger, but it's absolutely going to be a conversation point. There are a lot of schools that kind of like the MLB. Once you hit like a 85% threshold, I think conferences vary with that. But generally around 85%, you don't have to test nearly as often. The protocols are not nearly as strict. Masks in a lot of cases aren't required in the building. So there is an emphasis for teams to get this done. But I think you and I both know that's just not the case at a lot of schools around the country. And with the Delta variant raging the way it is and cases kind of on the rise again, especially among the unvaccinated populations, it's just a fact that we're going to have people test positive. We're going to have people put in contract tracing as a result. And we might not see games canceled, but you could certainly see depth charts being devastated by just position rooms not being able to play or not being able to compete at the level they do, which is kind of the reality of the season.
Yeah, I've got my eye on that, and I've got my eye on attendance or capacity caps at various parts of the country. I saw the Rose Bowl said they're going to sell alcohol or beer and wine, at least for the game against LSU. I'm like, you know, are they going to let everyone in out there? I'm going to Clemson, Georgia. I'm like, you know, is that still going to be a packed house? Just lots of little anxieties to think about. But
yeah, I think for a lot of people, this will be like the first time you're in like a large gathering like that for the first time in 18 months. Like I've been to a concert since the pandemic lifted, but not everybody's in that position. For a lot of people, this will just be their first mass gathering experience.
And I'm okay with it. I'm just saying, like, I hope they canceled, you know, Philadelphia and Washington, the baseball game the other day. It's like people are on their way to the game. So I'm dreading that. But I will say, I'm pulling up the first week of August of 2020, like the College Football Daily calendar, Chris, to kind of provide a snapshot of what that looked like. And it was the SEC said no to non-conference. The Pac-12 players threatened boycott. Minnesota star Rashad Bateman opts out. Colorado State players allege a COVID-19 cover-up. A follow-up episode on how player opt-outs were about to be college football's big storyline. We were right. One little fun thing about preseason top 25. And then the worst weekend of the world of my life, August 10th episode, college football players trying to save the season with the We Want to Play movement. The next day, the Big Ten inches closer to clarity. The next day, the Big Ten and Pac-12 cancel fall football. The next day, the Big 12 hangs tough while Nebraska tries to save the season. And a few days later, we have Justin Fields' petition to play. We just it wasn't good.
It was a lot, man. It was like daily terrible news after daily terrible news, and no football was discussed. Like, I feel bad for you hosting a college football podcast around that time, because it was just bad, 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 terrible. Like when the seasons were canceled. And we've learned a lot about COVID in the time since. Myocarditis, the heart condition that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 are particularly worried about, is not nearly as much of a concern as we used to kind of think it was with COVID. We have more perspective on the disease that is COVID-19. It's not going to ruin this season. It feels dismissive to say COVID's like a B or C story now, but I think that's more the case. I think it's just something that everybody's aware of. Everybody has to be conscious of, and it will certainly impact the season. It will certainly affect the course of the calendar, but it's not going to overwhelm the college football season like it did last year. And I think we can all kind of take that as a blessing, because it is nice to be able to discuss football in football terms again.
The A and the B, the stories are realigned. Playoff. Yeah. What's your interest level in those right now? It's been so much for me personally. I'm like, all right, like we'll see whatever happens in however many months. I'm ready to talk actual ball. I'm ready to break down Alabama versus Miami. Are you still interested in realignment and seeing what the Big Ten might do? And I know we're interested in seeing when Texas and OU go to the SEC. I'm a little bit surprised at the playoff expansion pausing. If you're Texas or OU, you're probably like, oh, well, maybe we wait it out, right? If the playoff isn't going to go to 12 in 2 years, maybe we wait out the Big 12 until 2025.
I'm not surprised that the playoff discussion's been put on hold, not only because like the power brokers of the playoff, specifically Bob Bowlsby and Greg Sankey, were working together and certainly probably have a bit of a different relationship now than they did 2 weeks ago. But if you're the Big 10 and the SEC is going to go to 16, and they're going to have this super conference where they're going to have to be competitive, and they're counting on the playoff to expand to 12 to get more teams in. Like, it probably behooves you to kind of hold pat and maybe shop the playoff around a little bit more. Maybe you don't go to 12, maybe you go to 6 to avoid the SEC owning a quarter of the spots every time around. I think
at least
I think there's a reason to pause if you're these other leagues to kind of strategize. And I'm of the opinion, if you don't know what college football is going to look like in 5 years from a conference perspective, you probably do need to hit pause in the playoff, because it's difficult if you're a commissioner, the new commissioner of the Pac-12. It's difficult if you're the new commissioner of the AAC to ACC, I'm sorry, to kind of push forward and push for expansion when you don't know what your league's going to look like in a couple of years. So in a lot of ways, I do think realignment has to come first, or at least realignment considerations have to come first. As for my interest level in realignment, I mean, it's high. Like, realignment's always interesting, but I would certainly love to have a football season before we start talking about free agent moves, I guess, in air quotes, like we kind of do in the NBA in the offseason. Like, I would like to play football this year and get to enjoy that aspect of it first.
Well, and then there's also the element that these conferences are saying, let's wait till the current playoff contract with ESPN and ABC expires and just have a bidding war. And I like the idea of diversifying that coverage. Get a little Fox in there. It's like the NFL playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. Fox,
maybe a little CBS.
You make more money that way too. Like, you really do. Yeah. And then you don't have to worry about, as Bob Bowlesby would say, interference from cable companies and conference realignment, which I know ESPN fired back at Bob Bowlesby very strongly, but I fully believe ESPN had its fingerprints all over the Texas to Oklahoma moves to the SEC, because it very much benefits ESPN for Texas and Oklahoma to be in the SEC sooner rather than later, both monetarily and from a ratings perspective. So if I'm the Big Ten or the Pac-12 tied at the hip to Fox in a lot of ways and not ESPN, I would certainly want other bidders in this playoff race for sure.
Last thing I'm going to ask you about is name, image, likeness. You were actually the catalyst for the Bryce Young quote going viral, Chris. When you were there at the Texas High School Coaches Football Association, Saban obviously knew what he was doing. And then a few days later, this Quinn Ewers domino is just mind-numbing, but at the same time, so much other big news has hit in college football and sports and life that it's hard to overreact to stuff these days.
Yeah, I'm numb. Like, legitimately, there's been so much news and so much happening. Something I would have thought sounded ridiculous a month ago, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. It's cool. Like, let's move on.
Used to call it like the Tyson zone. Yeah. Yeah, where like the celebrity or the news is so insane that you're like, okay. Like, when I saw the Texas Oklahoma news, I was like, all right, you know.
All right, cool. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. So when Pete Dammel reports that Quinn Ewers is leaning toward enrolling at Ohio State now to take advantage of this name, image, likeness situation, which could be a 7-figure deal for him as well, a combination of things, I'm like, all right, like, I hate this, but I get it. And I, you know what, it's not even good for business. Like, I'm excited about the day to have the Quinn Ewers is in Columbus, what does this mean for CJ Stroud episode or content on 24/7? But I mean, this is a generational quarterback talent who's going to end up playing how many games at South Lake Carroll?
About 20 games when you put it together as junior
and I can't imagine that's good for him. So what's your take on this? Are you worried that this is just the tip of the iceberg, especially down in Texas where these guys become really big deals, especially at the quarterback position?
Well, I think this could probably be an episode all to itself, but I think there's a couple thoughts that come to mind.
Yeah.
Well, first is, like, I think a place like Texas and the legislature is going to have to adjust its rules. The UIL, which is kind of the governing infrastructure of high school athletics in Texas, is not the one preventing Quinn Ewers from making money. It's the actual state law for name, image, and likeness. And California is a state that allows high school athletes to make money off their NIL. So if you're Texas and you want to remain competitive and you don't want your players leaving and your best players to leave, you're going to have to change your law. Like, we're in a special session in Texas right now. I don't think that's the top priority for the legislator, but I think eventually that will change. So that's thought number one. Thought number two is, I'm a little disappointed, maybe not in Quinn Ewers, but in the situation. In my opinion, like, playing team sports is like the best thing in the world. And being with your dudes is like the best thing in the world. And he only had to stay 5 more months. He was going to be an early enrollee. So he'd be delaying that $1 million by 5 months. It's not like he's delaying it by 4 years to playing the senior season. So I'm a little disappointed that he won't be there potentially at South Lake Carroll with his guys making a run for a state title for one kind of last gasp of that. And South Lake has not won a state title with Quinn Ewers as the quarterback. So I'm certainly disappointed from that perspective. But the third thought is, I don't think this is going to happen very often. The number of players whose earning potential is as high as Quinn Ewers is very, very small. Like, an Arch Manning, of course, will kind of be in that bracket. But we're going to see maybe 10 players a cycle worth that much money. Like, there are certainly high school players in an era where recruiting is so important that could make probably in the 6-figure range, low 6 figures, just for being who they are and for striking the right deal with the right booster, which I promise you will happen. But like, when you're talking about $1 million for Quinn Ewers, that's just not going to be a commonality or a common thing for these high school players. So I think it's just a very limited situation. But I certainly hope, and I'm sure you feel the same way, that we don't see top high school players leaving ahead of their senior year just so they can make money earlier. That's just a really disappointing trend.
Yeah. His dad, Curtis Ewers, told Pete Thamel, is like, it's mostly, this is for the principal. It's not like we need the money. We're just very upset that Texas won't let us make the money here. you know, that's their call. But yeah, I'm not going to sit here and say you can, you know, hey, just wait 5 months for your millions. But anything can happen. It is very disappointing. And if you're Ryan Day, this is great publicity for you. You're going to get a really talented quarterback a year earlier into your room, so you can't be upset about that. But there's been a lot of studies. Former colleague Charles Power has been harping on this for a long time. That senior year of high school, any game, any rep, those all matter. Unless Quinn's got, this is, you know, it's calling a guy up to the majors a little bit too early, and he's a platoon guy instead of getting daily reps in the minors. Like I'd rather that guy continue to develop.
Trey, when you think about it with Quinn specifically, so he had a sports hernia injury about halfway through his junior season last year. So, and he played hurt in the playoffs. He was maybe 50%. His head coach, Riley Dodge, told me that for a story I wrote on Quinn earlier this year. So if he goes to Ohio State and he sits this year as a redshirt, and then he's battling a redshirt sophomore, CJ Stroud, for the starting job, there's a possibility that Quinn doesn't play fully healthy football for 2020, 2021, 2022 before he legitimately has a chance to win that job. Like, being in that system, learning from Ryan Day, learning from Corey Dennis, their quarterback's coach, is great. But like, when you're getting live reps and live bullets, that'll be like 3.5 years for Quinn Ewers, one of the most talented quarterbacks of his generation, to play live football. And that's what makes that senior year of high school so valuable. And I would say, I know you said, like, who am I to tell somebody to wait 5 months for their millions? But like, if Quinn tore his ACL, he's still going to Ohio State. Ohio State's not going to pull the scholarship. He's still going to have the social media following he has. He's still going to be a generational prospect. Like, that money's going to be there. So from that perspective, I think it would be good to see Quinn play his senior year, but it's a personal decision. And it, as you said, like, it's difficult to criticize anybody for looking after their best interests, but I just don't know if it's like healthy for the sport and healthy for the athlete, particularly to sit out a year just to go make a little bit of money.
You gave me PTSD by saying it's a personal decision. And if you know, you know. Chris, this was a good episode. I think you're right. I think the Quinn you were saying, well, I'll have to do some sort of emergency episode on it when it happens. Maybe with Dave Biddle, or maybe with Steve Wolfong, maybe with you. Maybe we get Riley Dodge back on the podcast. August, looking forward to it. Please be normal, August. Please just be as normal as we could possibly hope for. Our producer is Lance Glenn. My name is Trey Scott. That was Chris Hummer. 20 minutes of, we covered everything you could possibly ask us to cover. So enjoy the rest of your Monday. We'll talk to you on Tuesday for the next edition of the College Football Daily.
CBS Monday.
NCIS.
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island you got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii. Monday starting at 9/8 Central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.